Time for another episode of the Cultural Hall Podcast. This is episode 5.2.
5.2, yes.
Yeah, that was awesome. 5.1 was really good of this Cultural Hall Podcast. What an awesome episode that was.
It was the best we've ever recorded, I thought.
Yeah, you did actually say this is the best one that we've recorded.
Right, and, which isn't too hard, let's be honest.
Hey.
Since the feedback we've gotten and the improvements that we have made.
Yeah, we're improving every week. So exactly. Stick with us, please. That's what we're saying by that. Stick with us. If you listen to the first one and you've made it all the way this far, thank you so much. And the reason why it's 5.2, we should probably explain. So
yeah,
on Wednesday of this week, whichever day of September that is, the 7th or something, we had our Dustin Harding and Christian Vuisa in the studio with us where we normally record. And what a couple of great
amazing.
Guests.
It
yeah.
was
insightful questions were asked.
It was a celestial moment in
yes.
there. Yeah.
And
great.
And apparently it was not meant to be, and we'll get into why that may not have been meant to be in this podcast today, but those files became corrupted. So now, flash forward to today, which is Friday.
Why were they corrupted?
What happened was they saved way too large and the computer didn't recognize them. I don't know. In 6 years of working in professional radio, I have never seen that happen before. Mm. And of course it happens when I'm doing my own podcast. And
it's probably just too sacred of an event. And
yeah, we got to bring it down telestial side. Maybe a little, I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't want to go outer darkness. We'll just leave it there, telestial. It's better than here. Better than where we're at right now. So we had to get in touch with Christian. We had to get in touch with our Dustin Harding and ask, hey, will you please, you know, come back? And unfortunately, Christian Vuisa, the director of Joseph Smith Volume 1, or Joseph Smith Golden Plates Volume 1. Joseph Smith and
Joseph the... Smith, Volume 1, Plates of Gold.
Plates of Gold.
Okay. And there's our guest.
And there's our guest, R. Dustin Harding, who was able to join us again today. So we're sitting in what my wife and I call our home teaching room, because that's the only time that this room gets used, because it's got a couple couches in it.
Yeah. Also known as a living room to those.
Yeah. But it's right off the front door, and we literally never come in here except for when we have home teachers.
R. Dustin Harding.
Or Joseph Smith. R. Dustin Harding is our guest today, and he is Joseph Smith. He is the man, Joseph Smith. Not literally, I should say. he plays Joseph Smith in... Give me the title of the film again, and I'll remember and won't have to ask you again.
The Restoration? Or...
No.
This... Okay. Joseph Smith, Volume 1, Plates of Gold.
He's been Joseph Smith a few times, as you can see. He was like, which one?
Yeah. What? You mean young Joseph, or did you mean old Joseph?
He's been playing Joseph his whole life, starting at, well, I guess, since age 14.
Well, let's start there. Yeah. So you played Joseph Smith in the film The Restoration, for people who don't know.
Right.
And what was that experience like, getting cast and then you know, first filling the shoes of the prophet in a film?
Yeah, it was a very interesting experience. You know, I've acted since I was 8, and first of all, I didn't think I looked like Joseph Smith. And so when they kept calling me back and back to the auditions, I was kind of like, what's going on? But it was an amazing experience. Like, it was a long audition process. And toward the end, it was down between me and one of my really good friends. And I just remember it was very different, because normally as an actor, you just want to get the gig. Like, mm-hmm. That's what you want. And I just remember praying, like, I just hoped that they would make the right decision with it. Huh. And it was a really, the audition was very, very spiritual audition, that last one. And
what kind of stuff do they make you do? I mean,
well, it would have been a little awkward if it wasn't for the spirit, but they just had me kneel down and they read the first vision and had me act out the first vision.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, trying to do that just in a regular room with no lights or anything,
uh-huh.
But
no trees,
Yeah. but I just remembered having a really strong feeling there, and kind of had a feeling that would happen. And they called a little later and said, all right, well, you passed the audition stage, but you know, we need to make sure you're worthy. And so they set up an appointment with me and Elder Robbins, one of the 70. I was did it terrified.
Did it go higher than a member of the 70? Like, did you end up meeting with an apostle or anything like that? Or was it
no, Elder Robbins? Was I've met them around here and there, but in actual interviews.
Oh, well. Oh. Okay.
No,
well, no, I mean.
So who do you know?
Yeah.
This is our name drop moment.
Who have I met? I've met... it wasn't all for just all kinds of films and random things. Elder Bednar, let's see, I met President Hinckley, President Monson, Elder Ballard.
Have you met Uchtdorf?
I have not met President.
He's my apostle crush.
Actually, I'm pretty sure. Actually, I did meet him.
Can you have one of those? I guess
sure.
You can.
It's kind of a funny story. My grandma remembers it. I don't, because I was just 15. But he was actually his office, I think, was next to Elder Robbins' office, and he kind of came out and introduced himself. But that was way before he was like an apostle or anything.
Way before he was worth memorizing.
Yeah, no. But
back
that
when he wasn't important. I've been playing Joseph Smith since I was 14.
Oh, a 70? Talk when you're apostle. Sure.
No, I think and that's my grandma's. But she said, she's like, I just remember meeting this German man and thinking, well, he's a very attractive man. Like,
there are lots of Uchtdorf fans out there.
Yeah, there are.
Me personally, I fall in the Beck camp. I'm a huge fan of Sister Beck. If I can have a Relief Society crush, I think that's where I fall.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Beck who said that kids should be quiet in church? Was that Sister Beck? That may
not
be. Doesn't matter. Sister Beck is still my crush.
That's a good one. I'm pretty
proud that I pulled out a member of the General
Relief
Society.
Maybe we should have Beck at Uchtdorf here for one of the...
I don't think we could handle it.
I don't think we could either.
So your friend that didn't get cast as Joseph Smith, is he now playing parts of like Lemuel?
Is he
and,
still your friend?
And all of the, you know...
he stopped like acting a while ago, but he's just doing the whole college thing.
But you're still in touch with him?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it is fun to have, we like to call him R. Dustin Hardin, because that's his apostle name.
Yeah, his apostolic name. Right. Mine, R. Thomas Stedman.
So brother R. Dustin Hardin, it's fun to see him here because I recognize, you know, that's how I recognize him, is from the Restoration. I haven't seen the movie yet like you have, the new one. But
you
the
mean
rest-
Joseph Smith, Volume 1, Plates of Gold.
Congratulations, that's
see
awesome.
How I did that.
Well done. But he played Joseph Smith as a 15-year-old, and I was on my mission in Kirtland when the Restoration came out, and they were really wanting us to show that to all of the investors, those tithe payers. And so it's just fun to see. I'm like, I know you. You know, it kind of.
I know 15-year-old R. Dustin Harding.
I watched you in all those discussions with investigators and in the visitor center in Kirtland. So
now, when you met with Elder Robbins, what kind of stuff did they ask you?
Oh, it was just like bishop interview questions, pretty much. And, you know, a lot about my worthiness, a lot about, I mean, he asked me to bear my testimony of Joseph Smith. And there was, one of the things that I really remember was he told me that if I had this experience, I would not only have to be worthy during the filming, but I would have to be worthy the rest of my life. And that he was really, I think, especially because I was a 15-year-old boy, like he was trying to help me understand the seriousness of this. And I've definitely seen, you know, on my mission and in all my wards and everything, when people find out, they kind of, you know, I don't know, I almost have to always be careful with how I appear, almost.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
There's a higher standard set for you.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
I have a higher standard set for you.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
She's judging you right now, and the standard's way up here.
Oh, no.
Don't do anything wrong.
So you're 15 years old. Mm-hmm. Had you done a lot of like scripture study or studying of Joseph Smith? Or as soon as you got cast, you went, oh my gosh, now I got to figure out, you know, what there is more to him than, you know, just the first vision, or, you know, what happened then?
I kind of started studying more history afterward, but it's actually kind of neat because before the film happened, probably a year or so before is when I think the Lord really started to prepare me for it and started to say, like, you need to get things straightened out and you need to have a testimony on your own and you need to figure out scripture study and everything. And so it was actually, I don't know, I really, before the film even happened, all of a sudden just had a great love for the scriptures. You know, I had one of my advisors, and teachers quorum advisor, he said, read them every day, even if it's just two verses. And so I started doing that, and it just kind of kept growing and growing. And I ended up getting a scripture journal and just really getting really into it. And so I just feel fortunate that the Lord was trying to prepare me for this. So yeah.
Did kids at school ever tease you? Hey, Joseph, any of that kind of stuff? Because well, you gotta figure, you know, born and raised in and live in Utah County, you gotta know most of your peers in classes. If they didn't know already, they'd go and see the restoration up at Temple Square and be like, "R. Dustin Harding,
R. Dustin Harding,
my buddy R. Dustin Harding is in his Joseph Smith." I mean, was there any sort of
Well, it didn't really come out until my mission. It came out, the DVD came out actually when I was in the MTC. So.
That makes me feel so much better about my age. He was really dating me there.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
So the DVD came out there, and so I got the elders poking fun at me my whole mission. but yeah, the MTC was nuts because like the news, the Mormon Times, or I can't remember which one. Like I was just on the front page. No, it was actually the Church News. So it went all through the MTC and everything. And so my district would always have to like pull out really quickly out of the meetings, like right as soon as they left, because there would seriously sometimes be lines of elders and sisters waiting to take picture with me. Like,
really?
Yeah. MTC was nuts.
That is awesome.
Your wife is rolling her eyes. I love it. We'll talk to your wife, Kim, here in just a little bit, but that's awesome. So
that's
an
so cool.
MTC celebrity. Oh. Did you get people in the MTC that would ask for your autograph?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And would you sign R. Dustin Harding or Elder Harding or Joseph Smith?
I don't know. It's probably just my name. You can't even read my signatures.
Scribble.
It's different every time. Just kidding, though. But yeah,
awesome.
It's I still run into people that are like, I met you in the MTC, remember? And I'm like, no.
No, you just do this. This is what I do when you do that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then you let them answer the question, and then you repeat it back. Like, do this with me. Your name is...
Dustin.
Yeah, Dustin.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, except you wouldn't have known my first name.
Yeah.
Not in
the
MTC.
Shoot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Dustin Harding. Oh, yeah. Elder Harding. And then, oh, yeah. He must remember. He must remember exactly who I am.
So now that Richie's secret is out, everyone take note.
Oh, it's so funny the way I meet people. And I'm like, no, I don't. Oh, yeah. You bet. You bet.
Harding. When my wife and I were dating, my friend had just met her, and he has this trick asking, like, oh, how do you spell your name again?
Oh, jeez.
And so he asked my wife that, and she's all, K-I-M.
Yeah.
She's like, you forgot my name, didn't you?
And it's Kim.
I've pulled one of those before, too. Like, oh, yeah, how do you spell your last name? And they're like, Smith, S-M-I-T-H.
It's Korean. My name is Kim, K-I-M.
She is not Korean.
No, she's not Korean. she's very much a Las Vegas, Gilbert, Arizona looking person.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah.
Right? And I didn't even know that that's where she was from. I just
where
pulled that
from
up.
Again?
From where are you from?
Gilbert,
yeah,
Arizona.
That's, yeah.
And
Las Vegas.
And Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See?
That's impressive. That is awesome.
Hey, wait, though. I want to know what it was like. So the MTC was crazy. What was it like on the mission? Because now you're showing this video to investigators.
Yeah, the mission was it was nuts.
Where,
like,
what mission did you serve in?
Well, yeah, I served in Manchester, New Hampshire. So it was kind of neat. You know, one of my areas had Joseph Smith's birthplace there,
Sharon, Vermont.
And I was there actually during Joseph's 200th birthday. So it's a really neat experience being there. A lot of people always ask, like, so what was it like showing the restoration on your mission? And Like the investigators hardly ever caught on. I swear there was a veil or something in between us, but you know, every once in a while they'd say, "Wow, you look a lot like him and stuff." And I,
we Mormons all look alike.
Yeah, we do. I'd just say, "Yeah, I get that a lot," and we'd move on with.
Would anyone catch on? Would anyone watching the video say, "Wait, is that you?"
I think one person did. One investigator. She was from Africa, which. It's really interesting, but she's like, "Oh, that's you," and I was like, "Yeah,
yes."
So, what would they, when they found out, what would they say? What would people say?
It just depended. Like, usually, they'd find out if they came to church, or my companion would eventually tell them, or something. But yeah, it just depended. One time, I had this companion that just loved telling everybody, and we met this guy on the street and we start talking to him, and it turns out he knew a member, and the member had shown him some videos, and my companion's all, "Oh, really? Well, did you see the restoration?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, well, he's actually, that's actually one of my favorites." And my companion's like, "Well, I happen to know the guy that plays Joseph Smith. And if we set up an appointment, I'm sure I can pull some strings and bring him along." And yeah. He had no idea I was right there. But he got excited about it. And we went. But it turned out to be an amazing conversion story. Like, he was baptized and he's in the Elders' Quorum Presidency now and everything. He's an amazing guy. But yeah, who would have thought?
That is awesome. Yeah. That is so cool.
Did the church use you at all with the 200 anniversary of the birth of Joseph and being out there? Was there any sort of connection with you where they're like, they wanted to have you in a house and come out and be like, "Surprise, what's up? Hey, everyone." No, 200 years ago. Like, I would think, I mean, it sure sounds a little silly, but if you think about it, someone who looks like Joseph Smith, or what we think Joseph Smith looked like, you know, being there in the birthplace of Joseph Smith to be able to be like, "Hey, everyone, now let me teach you a little bit of the history that I've learned." I would think that maybe they would have done something like that.
Yeah, the official church didn't do that, but the visitor center did actually. They put together a fireside, and the mission president and I spoke at the fireside, and it was right around that time, you know. But yeah, that's pretty much as far as that went.
So you didn't think, when you were cast in The Restoration, that you looked like Joseph Smith. Did you watch the film and then think, "Oh, maybe I do a little," or do you still?
I think it's mostly on set. I mean, I remember my dad didn't think I looked like Joseph Smith, but he didn't think that until he went to set and he saw me there, and he saw the difference. And honestly, I feel there's a major countenance change that happens on set. There's just playing Joseph Smith is something that is very, very inspirational, and there's so much of the spirit there. Like, one thing that was really neat is when I first started The Restoration, I received my patriarchal blessing right during that time too.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks a lot about my experiences playing Joseph Smith. And it says that, that during the filmings, as I would be performing, that I would feel the spirit of Joseph there. It's definitely something that, you know, is real, and it's just an amazing, amazing feeling. But there's times that I plan something out, like, "Oh, I'll do this line this way," and then I actually go there, and it's different, and I've had to learn to follow that spirit. I don't think there's any other way I could really portray Joseph Smith.
Yeah,
that makes sense to me, though. I mean, it helps me to make sense of it all, because I look at you now and I think, I wouldn't think if I saw you on the street you looked like Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watched The Restoration, you absolutely look like Joseph to me.
So coming back in the second block, we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to meet and then date Joseph Smith. So we'll talk briefly to your wife, Kim, who's joined us here. Also want to talk about
their unique dating experience.
Right. Preparing for the role of Joseph Smith in Joseph Smith Volume 1,
mm-hmm.
Plates of Gold. Talk a little bit about that. I've also seen the film, so we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what's in the film. Unfortunately, again, Christian can't be here, so we'll recount some of the things that he talked about in episode 5.1. And so we'll do that in just a minute in block two.
Does your Utah business need help navigating the social media landscape? Contact Moz Concepts for help developing Facebook applications, custom websites, and building your social media fan base. visit Moz Concepts online at mozconcepts.com. That's mozconcepts.com.
Welcome back to the second block of the Cultural Hall podcast. Make sure you check us out online if you haven't already. You probably know about the website, theculturalhall.com, but you can also follow us on Twitter at The Cultural Hall and find us on Facebook by searching The Cultural Hall. We've made it easy. It's The Cultural Hall all the way around, and we hope that you'll join us there. Give us your feedback there. Email address with something at The Cultural Hall forthcoming, so I shouldn't have even mentioned that there. I may even edit that out as I future edit things. We'll see.
We have gotten advice that we ought to edit more. So maybe that should be, you know, something you try
something
out.
We do? Yeah, I'm not so sure. I like it natural. We're joined by R. Dustin Harding and by Kim. What's your middle initial?
D.
Kim D. Harding. That's good.
Except edit. That it should be K. What's your middle name?
Don.
K. Don.
K. Don Harding K-Don. Is good too.
That is good.
I prefer the Kim. Kim D. Yeah.
So it's... I like K Don. I'm falling in the K Don camp.
Do some people just call you Emma?
Yes, I do get that sometimes.
Do you?
Well, I used to be blonde. I'm brunette now. So I figured, you know, if I am gonna be married to Joseph, I should probably have dark hair.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well done.
Do you guys plan that? Is that your Halloween costume for this year? You're known as Joseph and Emma.
We haven't planned, but that might be on the list. So we'll see.
You have two little girls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are their names?
We have Kate. Uh-huh. She's 3 years old. And then we have an 8 month old Ada.
Oh, nice.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
sweet.
Aww. Aww. That's Lauren yearning for being a mother. Oh, bless her heart.
With the lack of jokes, always, you can always go to...
Yeah, if I don't have anything else, I can go to you being single.
Lauren's relationship status or her biological clock, either one.
Listen. It's barren. Anyway. Oh, I'm kidding.
What did you study in school?
I studied marriage, family, human development. They changed you're a mom. It now. Yeah, I am a mom. Now it's just family studies.
Probably
at BYU,
what I should have majored in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my problem.
Yeah. Among many. Among many, I'm sure. So you're a stay-at-home mom, you chase kids around. How awesome is that?
I love it. For the most part. Yeah. You know, I love being at home. I do teach a little bit of violin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kate and Ada, those could be Joseph Smith names.
They like, could be.
He could have girls named Kate and Ada.
He didn't, but
and
he could.
No, could.
He had a Sophronia.
He could have.
Yeah, he certainly could have. If he would have named his children those names, he could have had Kate and Ada.
I'm just saying, I liked, do you guys live in a log cabin? Like, no. I like to imagine...
No, but every time we drive past like a log cabin or something, our daughter Kate is like, oh, Joseph Smith's house. That's Joseph Smith's house. And my daddy is going to be Joseph Smith tomorrow.
She gets so confused.
Yeah, she doesn't know what's going
on. She's telling her nursery leaders, my daddy's going to be Joseph Smith tomorrow. And they have no idea what's going on, you know.
So the people in your ward don't know about you being in the film?
Most of them do.
Yeah, we have a lot of students, like young married families in our ward. So there's a lot of turnover. So
do you, let me ask you, R. Dustin Harding, sorry, is it something that you will tell people? Like, are you, and I, my name is R. Dustin Harding. This is my wife, Kim, and I play Joseph Smith in church films. Or do you,
Emma,
Kim
is nodding yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he doesn't.
Or do you keep it pretty cool? And why one way or the other?
I don't tell anybody. Yeah. I the only time that I've really told people was for this new film, you know, we went all over the East Coast and I had to get used to introducing myself as Joseph Smith, because normally people, even though they're coming to see the film, they still don't recognize me and know that that's me. So I had to do that. So I'm becoming a little bit more comfortable with it, but I don't like to bring like a lot of attention to myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, I play Joseph Smith, like, you know, it's just, yeah. But people always find out. Most of our ward knows. Yeah. It was actually funny. Last Sunday, they do this, the elders quorum always does this little, they
like
call
a,
it the hot
spotlight.
Seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Come on down, brother.
And somehow I've missed it this whole time. And And the Elders Quorum president called me up to sit there, and some of the people started mentioning things about it, and like a lot of people were like, "What? You play Joseph Smith?" Like they just had no idea, but they found out then.
It makes it pretty clear at that point. So yeah. Kim, now we want to talk to you then, a little bit. I know you wanted to kind of stay off the mic, but I do want to know what this was like. So you guys are Dustin Harding. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He insists on the R. Dustin Harding. It's even that way on Facebook.
I give him a hard time too. I give him a hard time.
He's home from his mission, and that's when you guys meet. He's just barely home, and you're going to BYU. Mm-hmm. So tell us about how you met. See, the women always get to do this, like in meeting the new couples in the ward and bearing the testimony. The women always get to do this. So tell us about how you met, and then what it was like when you found out that he was Joseph Smith.
Okay. Well, my brother and sister-in-law live in Arizona, which is where Dustin's dad and stepmom used to live, and they were in the same ward. And so Dustin came back from his mission, and he spoke in that ward. And so my sister-in-law is trying to set up everyone, you know, that she knows.
Isn't that the worst?
Yeah. And well, for me at that point, it was my last year at BYU. I was like, I'm kind of done. I just want to go to grad school, but you know, if it's a free meal, then I'll do it. So, which is pretty funny. And we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But so he came back to Utah because he was going to live in Pleasant Grove, and he got, you know, my number from my sister-in-law, called me up, and I'm like, yeah, sure, that'd be great. And so...
And did he mention anything about playing Joseph Smith at that point on the phone?
No, but my sister-in-law did. She said, okay, but, you know, he played Joseph Smith, pretty cool, but don't say anything. Yeah. He does not like to talk about it.
Keep it cool, okay?
Yeah.
He played Joseph Smith, but it cool.
I couldn't come out screaming, you know?
Joseph! I mean...
Yeah. So he called me and, you know, we had a good time talking, but I was the first girl that he
ever been on a date with ever.
Yeah. Not quite, but so he was pretty nervous. You know, it was like 2 weeks after his mission. And
What took you so long?
I know.
But I figured we'd be having dinner, you know, but it was at like 7. I don't, maybe that's a late time, but you know, it's 7 o'clock. I'm like, okay, good.
He said, hey, I'll pick you up at 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know, we ended up
video.
Yeah.
Before we go anywhere.
Yeah. So we ended up just walking around this museum.
So
and
he didn't even buy you dinner?
No, there was no dinner.
Cold and Stone. So like, we had Cold Stone.
Which ice cream is my favorite food. So that was okay. But I was a little like, well, I'm starving. And that's kind of why I went on this date. No, but so we had a good time, and on our second date we were really dumb and we're like, I like you, and then we got engaged like 2 months later.
Really?
So, yeah, and then we got married 2 months after that.
Oh my gosh.
So,
holy cow.
It was pretty fast.
Holy cow.
So well done, R. Dustin.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
He didn't know when his next calling would be to go do a film somewhere. He didn't know.
Right?
Goes quick. No. You didn't buy dinner. Awesome, by the way. I used to do that too, because like if you get them before 6, you're obligated to dinner, but after 7, it's like, no, why didn't you eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Second question I have, what is your preference? What do you get? Because I have one. I get there every time. Don't have one?
I don't really. I think I got they have like a pumpkin pie kind of one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got, because it was the seasonal one, so that's what I got, and I love that one.
And you got it in like the quart size because you hadn't eaten dinner. You're like, paying $7
for
this.
And then I ate his too. So
it's like, I don't know why you're so hungry. I ate before I came. But then you said second date, I like you that. But how did he broach the subject of him playing Joseph? How did that come up?
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about it our first date at all.
Second date,
his mom used to live kind of, her backyard was like the mountain, and so we were going to go hiking. So first we went to the house, and there's pictures of him everywhere in the house, you know, doing like the first
signed
vision,
headshots,
like all these things. And yeah, so it kind of just came up, you know. You couldn't not talk about it. So
it's that awkward second date thing. I remember this from when I was single a long time ago. I rubbed that in for Lauren. It's that second date thing where the first date you can always be completely chill. It's like, yeah, whatever, we're having fun, I'm not gonna buy you food, starve. And and then the second date, it's like, that's when all the stuff always comes out, you know.
That'd be accurate. I've been on a second date with Richie.
I need you to know that I killed someone. And you're just like, what? What? Couldn't that be first date? Because I don't know that I'd be here again on a second date. Or I always loved the, you know, when I would date people with kids. It would always be on the second date that the kids would come out. I have 12 children. And it's like, well, I'm out. I'm sorry. I'm glad I didn't buy you dinner last time and we just did Cold Stone. But I am out.
So did they just like lay that out? Or was it like, oh, yeah, it's... I got to make sure I get a babysitter or something like that.
No. Just, it was, you're strings free, all this. And then you'd get on the second date and it was normally at the end of the second date so they could go for another free meal or another free night of activities. Yeah. And then at the end be like, hey, you know what? I'm having a great time with you. I was born a man or whatever the thing was that they would break to me. Yeah. It's like,
The news that Dustin broke to me was my favorite movie is Tommy Boy. And I was so like, I was shocked because I'm like, really? You like Tommy Boy? I'm surprised.
Man in a little coat.
I think he was a little embarrassed about that. So.
And right below that is my portrayal of Joseph Smith in Restoration. So,
Joseph Smith were alive today, I think he might like Tommy Boy. Can I talk about that? Can I say that?
That's speculation again.
Sure, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
funny movie.
He would love Tommy Boy, I'm sure. And he'd sit down and watch it with his kids, Kate and Ada, I'm sure.
And maybe Lauren.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Your speculation on the most random thing. He might like a Chevrolet. You know that? He might,
no,
right?
Like a hybrid.
Oh, you're good point. He was so environmentally conscious.
He was.
Yes.
Anyway.
So then how did they ask you to marry him?
Let's... What?
I saw a pillar of light.
Yeah. As I saw you. Yeah, exactly. I saw a pillar of light. No, how was it?
Let's see. Well, we had taken his sister to this. She had her young women's night of excellence or whatever. Uh-huh. So we took her to that. And then we went back to his mom's house because he was still living at home.
Yeah.
And
I'm not buying you dinner. And here's my room where I was born and raised. What's up, baby?
Yeah, no pretenses, you know, with him. So, but he just went to the freezer, like he was all nervous and stuff, and he pulled out some ice cream, Cold Stone, you know, from our first date.
What was the flavor on that one?
Might have been cake batter. I know there were chocolate chips in there.
White
chocolate chips too.
It's probably cake batter, white chocolate chip, graham cracker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know where I'm going after this is done.
Good. Yeah. That's good. And so I was, you know, we're eating the ice cream and he's not eating much, you know, but I'm like, whatever, you know, I'll dig in. So.
I don't know what my next meal is. I'm eating this thing.
Exactly. So I kept digging in and then I saw like some plastic in there. I'm like, this is disgusting. I'm like, they left some junk in this or whatever. And, you know, I could just see him all upset. You know, because I think I'd kind of ruined the moment. But but no, he's like, no. And so he helped me get it out. Yeah.
No, it's cute. It's not drunk.
Yeah. So there was the ring in a little bag in there. And, you know, he got down on one knee and asked me.
It was funny because she wouldn't tell you this part, but her first reaction was, oh, there's a bag in here. And then when she pulled the bag out, she's like, oh, somebody left a ring in here. Like,
yeah, that's her right.
First. Let's see the ring. It took her a little while to catch up.
Yeah. So
what does a proposal feel like?
Stop it. These Mormon films have got to be paying pretty well there, R. Dustin Harding. Look at that. It's a beautiful ring.
That's why you didn't buy you dinner.
I was saving up. I was like, this could work. Yeah, no dinner for you. I'm going to save up for the ring.
Yeah. Just from the phone call. He knew.
Well done.
That was the one.
So go ahead.
We haven't talked much about this recent film.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's pretty cool. I mean, playing Joseph Smith as a 14-year-old is one thing, but then growing up and still being, you know, thinking, hey, he still looks like him. Let's have him play 21-year-old Joseph. I mean.
Where are you going?
Let me think about this. Where I'm going is, were you surprised that Christian call you the director?
Yeah, like since my mission, I hadn't really pursued acting, but Christian ended up just giving me a call. I'd never met him before, but he just said, "Yeah, I'm doing this Joseph film. You want to come to the audition?" And first, I was like, "Who is this guy?" but yeah, it was kind of neat. I went to the audition. Things went really well. Later, he gave me the script to look over and stuff in it. I was really, really impressed with the script and how it, I felt like it really captured the character of Joseph really well.
And the film takes place from 18, I want to say about 25 to 1830. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yeah. About 1825, 1826 to 1830. Yeah.
And a couple of things that, that I saw in the film that people that will go and see Joseph Smith, Volume 1, Plates of Gold.
Nice.
Will notice is that they depict the actual have a physical item of the Urim Thummim. Normally, that kind of gets glossed over, or we don't try and depict it in the film. And you know, Christian, when we interviewed him in version 5.1 of this episode, he talked about how it was someone who actually, you know, made that replica based on, you know, some study and stuff like that. But then there were also real plates that you had that were set as a replica as well. And I thought that was really cool. That was an awesome touch that for me in that film, you know, seeing the stones and in the breastplate in the film, I went, okay, I don't know that it looked that way, but way to go for those guys for actually, you know, trying to depict it as we read about it and as we study. Talk a little bit about how, and then we're going to get you to recite some lines from the film, because that was cool when you did it in version 5.1 of this. But how, so you're on the set, you guys filmed most of this movie in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get into character for the Prophet of the Restoration?
Oh, it's a, like I kind of talked about earlier, a lot of it, for me, the number one thing I need to do is prayer, like a lot of prayer. And just like how I said, I would normally plan things out and then I would go and things would be a little different. So I've kind of changed my way. I don't really so much plan how I will deliver the lines as much as just memorizing and then just a lot of prayer and then just going in and feeling it out. So it's really neat. This film, something that happened with this film that was kind of different was most of what we filmed was at Old Sturbridge Village, just by Boston, like you said. But we filmed at the This Is a Place monument as well, and over there they didn't want us there during the day. They wanted us to film all night long, and so we would just plow through all night long. It was hard on everybody, but it was actually really kind of difficult for me as well, because I was actually going to school also at the same time.
So it's school all day,
yeah,
act all night. Sorry, honey, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. It was, signed, yeah, Joseph.
Yeah, no, seriously, and I was getting like 1 to 2 hours of sleep every night, and probably
helped you get into character, you know, because you read about how much he had going on in his life.
Right. Yeah, that would help out quite a bit, but it was kind of, you know, difficult finding time to memorize lines and homework and everything. And Christian still makes comments with like, I don't know how you were able to do that. And it was actually interesting. Another part to my patriarchal blessing that talks about my Joseph experiences, it really came into light during this time. I didn't really know what it meant until this time. And it said that during my performances, that the Lord would bless my mind to make it active, quickened, responsive, and alert.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And it was like amazing. There was, I remember one time walking with Christian, and he pulled out this old scene that he had cut, and he had Martin Harris there and everything. And he's like, I wondered if we can run through this really quick. And I just kind of glanced through it and had it all memorized. Like that. I wish it was like that with school. Yeah. but yeah, it was, you know, that was a huge blessing during that time. And so a lot of it just honestly was the Spirit. That's the only way I could prepare to do that.
Now, in the film, you're married. You guys have been married for how long?
4.5 years.
Yeah.
In the film, you have to obviously kiss your wife, Emma, who is not your wife in real life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we kind of talked about this before in version 5.1, but we went on from it pretty quick. But now with you being here, Kim, what is that experience for you?
Yeah, what was that like?
He did
say it was hard in the first.
Yeah, it's hard. And like when I watch the movie now, because our daughter loves to watch it, I have to close my eyes every time.
So you still can't?
I still don't watch it. I mean, who really wants to see, you know,
their spouse kiss somebody else?
Exactly. Right. But my aunt took her son to go see it. And when he saw that part, he yelled out in the theater. He's like, "That's not Kim." And like, so that kind of puts it into words for me. I'm like, "That's not me." You know, that's what you first feel. But I kind of have to just be like, okay, it's Joseph and Emma. You know, They're trying to get that story, you know, really capture
sure.
that.
You
and
can't
that
show
romance.
Really that they're in love and that, yeah. you know, that whole thing with being like, "Hey, bones, see you later."
Yeah, exactly. So it was important, but not necessarily easy.
Was it something that you had to think about before you were okay with? I mean, did you have to say, "Wait,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm okay with this"?
Yeah, we talked about it. Mm-hmm. You know, he was like, is that okay? And I'm like, well, I don't want you to, but...
Don't make a practice of it, pal.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, and now our daughter...
You'll be practicing with me.
Yeah, exactly. So Kate now sometimes like, "And Daddy loves Emma." And I'm like, no, he doesn't.
No. I don't know what's going to happen with that girl.
Yeah, I don't know. Poor girl.
One thing that really helped, though, is we actually became really, really good friends with Emma, Lindsay. And Lindsay Farr, who plays Emma, and she'd come over to our house all the time and play with our kids.
Which is good and weird at the same time right. when yeah. you're hanging out and I'm like, wait
you're
minute.
Gonna go kiss my husband
yeah,
later.
Exactly. But
thanks for hanging around. But yeah. probably good for you to be like, okay, I'm watching you.
Yeah, I know who you are, and she's a really good person. You know, she's on her mission now in Hong Kong. So
wow.
Yeah.
So well, this is a trilogy, and there's gonna be so three.
Yeah, that's good job.
Three.
That's what a trilogy means. Yep. I'm pretty sure. So if she's on a mission, when is this next one going to be filmed, or has it already been filmed?
No, it'll probably be a few years till we get that, if it happens. So we have to just see how things go and uh-huh. with this first film. But that's the plan.
How's the response been so far?
It's been pretty well. You know, it's you know, I mean, things could always be better, but word has been spreading quite a bit. I it's been a while since I asked Christian about it, but you know, we opened in the weekend, and then the Monday after it was more than the whole weekend combined.
Family home evening.
Yeah, family home sure. evening, and
well, and Labor Day too. At least here in Utah,
Labor Day,
so people had a lot more time.
And there was actually the singles ward that's in our building afterward. I'm sure this happened more, but one of the guys told me that the bishop was bearing his testimony and talking about the film and what a good experience that
really?
Was and stuff. And so that was I'm sure testimony meeting kind of helped out a little bit yeah. too. But
I endorse it.
Movie reviews.
Yeah,
we pay people to mention it in their testimonies.
Right. No. It's not a bad PR idea.
Hey, there you
actually,
go.
Actually, being
the cultural hall for
that.
Any of those thinking about that. Don't send us
the bill. How much would you pay someone for bringing something up you want them to in testimony?
Yeah, jeez. I wouldn't.
I was listening to the Culture Hall and...
Wait, so it's not produced by the church. This isn't a church film like the Restoration was. So you probably didn't have as many interviews and...
Right, no interviews.
No interviews.
No, like, general authority interviews.
And also, what was the difference? I mean, there's... Was it more detailed? Was it more controversial? Was it more realistic?
This film, how I said when I read the script, I really felt like this really tried to capture the spirit and the character of Joseph. And this film is so historical. There's so much where I'm just like you know, just through the process, I was like, oh, this Christian must have made up the scene or something like that. And then I come to find out later, no, that's actually historical. One of the things, Christian's very, very humble guy. And during the filming, he said, you know, if there's ever a time that you feel like something's worded weird or anything, you know, English is my second language. He's from Austria, but he said, just let me know. We might be able to work with it. But there were several times when I brought something up and he said, well, that's actually a quote. So let's stick with that.
keep that. That's not Austrian English. That's a quote from the old times.
Yeah. And so there's definitely things that are more historical, kind of dives a little bit more deeper into the history than a lot of the church productions have. And I think it's been a really neat experience having members just watching them and be like, wow, hearing them say, I didn't know that. Is that historical? And being able to talk to them about it. And it's really my hope that it drives them to do more history themselves.
Yeah, well, that was definitely one of the things for me. There's the scene where You know, the firstborn of Joseph Smith and the 116 pages of the manuscript for Martin Harris. Mm. I mean, in the film, I think it depicts it one right after each other, as far as, you know, one day and then the next day.
Right.
That's what's going on. And as I watched that, I went, is that really how that, you know, fell chronologically? And asking Christian in version 5.1, he said, yeah, that's how it is. And so it was fascinating for me and kind of enthused me, like you said, to want to go back and be like, oh yeah, what else is going on? Maybe I need to plug this in timeline. Because that certainly gives you a greater insight to what the prophet Joseph Smith was going through. You know, his firstborn kid, his wife's in pain, she's, you know, going through everything like that, and there's this guy going, hey, can I take him? Can I take these? Can mm-hmm. I take these? Can I take these? I mean, that certainly gives an amount of insight. I liked the film a lot. I think that people should go see it. Joseph Smith, Volume 1, Plates of Gold. It's in the theaters here in Utah right now and has gone around, you know, the East Coast. I'm sure there's more screenings in different cities
I think we're doing some West Coast tour right now. You know, it's in most of the theaters here in Utah. You can just go to our website, josephmovie.com, and you can put in your state and it'll show everywhere that it's showing.
So. And then I'm sure it'll be eventually released on DVD. So yeah. Coming up in the third block, we got some news that we got to get to, but want to thank you so much, R. Dustin Harding. K. Don Harding, for being here in my home teaching room for this episode of The Cultural Hall. All right, we're back with the third block of The Cultural Hall. We're here in the home teaching room of my home.
It's a beautiful room.
Yeah, do you like it?
I love it.
My wife's decorated. I'm not allowed to decorate this room.
She does a good job.
Doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have one room in the basement that I'm allowed to decorate. It's awesome.
I bet it is.
Yeah, it's musical posters and pictures of myself all over the wall. Yeah. And I have one of R. Dustin Harding.
An autograph.
Yeah.
R. Dustin Harding. An original.
Anyway, let's get into some news here. First of all, we talked about this in last week's podcast. Laramie County over there in Colorado has now approved the land use change for the LDS Temple. So the Fort Collins Temple going forward, chalk one up for the Mormons in Colorado.
And another temple on its way.
And speaking of that, let me see if I can find that story real quick. The Payson Temple. The LDS Church will break ground next month on its 15th temple in Utah. News that couldn't come soon enough for Payson Mayor Rick Moore. He says, I get asked about this about 10 times a day, what the church is doing, Moore said. Apostle Dallin H. Oakes will preside at the ceremony down in Payson October 8th at 9 a.m. So it's pretty awesome. 15, can you name them?
Very awesome. Nope. Not even going to try.
Can you name? Well, there's Salt Lake. Yep. Good job. Okay. So we know that one.
Manti.
This one, this was a story I found yesterday that I thought was interesting too. So this is great that we are doing version 5.2. The Mormon Church plans to build an electronic safe house in the Northland of Missouri for the billions of birth certificates and other genealogical records that it's been compiling around the world for almost a century.
Really?
The building, 63,000 square feet, is being designed to withstand the worst natural disasters and keep its computer servers cool and dry for several years should it lose power, all to ensure its trove of digital documents to be remaining undamaged. So it's pretty awesome. It's supposed to be operational by 2013. Now, everybody knows that there's the one here in Utah that's in the granite vault up in the mouth of, that's Big Cottonwood or Little Cottonwood? But according to this article, there is another one. It doesn't say where it is, but there is another kind of storehouse for all the records. So it'll be one of three, and that goes in Missouri. You know where it is? Where? It's in Salt Lake?
No, it's they just have these vaults and things. It's at the they have it there. I went on a tour over there, actually.
Of course you did.
So, of course. No, but yeah, it's really cool. It's a cool place.
Joseph Smith gets to go on special tours.
I don't get a tour. Thank you. Cool. That's, by the way, that voice is R. Dustin Harding. He stuck around, cause we're taping this in my house. So he stuck around and, I just think he likes the couch and the water bottle I got him.
It's the home teaching room. It's a good place. We haven't really talked about Brother Maine yet, although he's been making headlines.
Yeah. Quite Mitch a bit Maine, San Francisco.
Yeah. On August 14th, Mitch Maine was named executive secretary to the bishop of the church's Bay Ward, a 950 member congregation located at 1900 Pacific Street.
In case any of you in California want to go and attend, there's the address.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
But he is openly gay. That's the catch there. Maine, who supports same-sex marriage, said he is one of the many gay Mormons who struggled with their faith when the LDS Church backed the measure. During the height of the debate, Maine said he had been in a long-term relationship. He says, as a gay man, watching my Mormon brothers and sisters advocate something that kept me from marrying the person I love was difficult. Between the three LDS wards in the city, there are 2,500 members. A significant number of them are gay, Maine said. Only about 500 are attending. So he's hoping to be able to bring his gay brothers and sisters back to activity in the church. And he has a webpage, and he's really... It's really exciting kind of what he's doing.
For some people that may have questions about that, how he could be openly gay and serve as the executive secretary, if you go to his blog, which is at MitchMaine.com, you can read about how he is celibate, just like anyone else would have to be in order to be an executive secretary and not be married. So, I mean, that's how that works. And hopefully he'll be a future guest here on Cultural Hall with us.
He's not returning my emails.
Yeah, through my job, we almost had him on the radio with us, but at the last minute, he backed out. And, you know, hopefully he's taken some time to get everything figured out, and he'll join us on the Cultural Hall in the future. So it's kind of some sad news. A sister missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was killed in a car crash on September 1st. 22-year-old Vanessa Bentley of Tucson, Arizona, was killed Tuesday. This is last Tuesday now, in a two-vehicle collision in New York. The other sister missionary in the vehicle and the driver of the other vehicle also suffered injuries in the crash. Bentley had been serving in the Utica, New York mission for almost 13 months. The LDS Church and us here at the Cultural Hall say sympathy and prayers go out to all those that are affected by the accident.
Tom Brokaw is joining the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for a special spoken word which commemorates the 10-year anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah, he's a tenor, I think. He'll be joining the choir in the tenor as a... I'm just kidding.
It's like, really?
I know. Yeah, I had no idea. No, Tom Brokaw is an obvious bass.
Right. So the choir music director says that it'll focus on how Americans have risen above the grief and loss of that September day. The message of this show is that as individuals, as a nation, we can find healing and strength in adversity and literally rise above all the negatives. A little catch to the story, though. Take note, it was actually, looks like it was pre-recorded. And so anyone that arrives that morning...
This Sunday morning.
September 11th. Spoken word. It actually will be a different performance. But... you can go to a broadcast at the Temple Square Visitor Center at 9:30 to watch that pre-recorded spoken word.
Have you tried out? Do you have an iPhone?
No, I have a whatever.
A smartphone.
Yeah, there you go.
Of some other, a droid. What do you need help? Use your words,
it
honey. Does,
well, it helps me with my words. And you make me turn it off before we record.
Yeah, so I can't look and see what it is. What is this
it
thing?
It feeds me, too.
LDS Church has a gospel library app, and this is pretty cool. You can get all your scriptures. You can get all the hymns. Are you guys at Hardings? You guys have that? Yeah, they're nodding yes. Old iPad, R. Dustin Harding, and with his Joseph Smith money. That's how he's able to afford the iPad. I'm kidding. See,
that's an example of someone, you know, the iPad could say, hey, we'll pay LDS members to talk about the gospel library and testimony meeting.
Yeah.
It'd be great PR.
I don't know that I would keep pitching the getting marketing plans from the pulpit.
I'm just saying.
I think that there's enough of that. Here's something I didn't notice before about this story. So this story from KSL.com, and it has a picture of someone using their iPad. Look at what finger they're using the iPad with. That's awesome, and that will be posted at theculturalhall.com and at Facebook. That I did not notice that until I may save that for work actually on Monday. That's kind of fun. Texas. It's a hip place to be a Mormon right now. Over 1,000 people join the church in Texas every year. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, who just went to the Lone Star State last week, said people are committed to faith in Texas. So you'd expect such a wonderful response. So way to go to our brothers and sisters who are sharing the gospel with their neighbors and friends and the missionaries that are hard at work down there in Texas.
That's wonderful. A church news article here. Eagle, Idaho, When a lightning strike started a wildfire outside of Boise last summer, four houses were actually completely destroyed. No Latter-day Saints were affected, but four families from other churches. Bishop Ken Firmage of the Beacon Light Ward, Eagle, Idaho, saw a need to begin and began contacting the families to offer the ward's service. And as a token of kindness, he also gave each family a homemade quilt. He says here, I consider it my responsibility to look out for the welfare of everyone within my ward boundaries, members or not. He says that they couldn't understand why they would want to help, and they explained that we are all God's children and need each other's help.
One of the things that I was, as I was reading that story, I really wanted everyone to have the LDS service yellow shirts that they do. You know how the wards, whenever they do service projects, you have to wear a yellow shirt now. I keep one in my back pocket just in case an old lady needs help across the street. It's like, hold on. Put it on.
Do you carry yours in your across car? The
street? No, it's in my back pocket.
In your back pocket.
If I kept it in my car, it wouldn't be yellow for very long. It would be dirty brown. John Huntsman, going to be on The View.
With Mary Kay, his wife, right?
Yeah, John Huntsman, a kind of Mormon. I'm Mormon-ish.
Sure.
I'd go. I like it.
Served a mission.
Was in a rock band. Maybe we'll get him on the podcast.
Rides a Harley?
On the Cultural Hall in the future. He's going to be on with his wife, Mary Kay, on October 6th.
Very cool. LDS missionary recovering after the lion attack. We talked about that earlier in Guatemala. That he climbed up on a little cement block and a lion reached out and actually grabbed him from the cage. His right arm was recently amputated and he's missing a piece of his right leg. The injuries were inflicted by the pair of lions that attacked him when he climbed on top of that cement wall. He says, accidents happen. We don't plan them. They just happen, said. His name is Paul Oakey. And he lives in St. George. We're actually hoping to get him on the show soon here.
Yeah, I'll be taking a road trip. The Cultural Hall will be taking a road trip at the first part of next month, right after conference, and hope to catch him. And for sure, already set for the future, so you can look forward to this podcast. The man who painted the picture of the Savior that we use throughout the church in the red robes, Dale Parsons is his name. He will be a future guest on the Cultural Hall. So. Hoping to line a bunch of those out.
Which that'll be very exciting. Really quick, just to quote Elder Oakey, he seems like he's actually very positive with the whole thing. He says, this is not going to stop me much. I have my whole life ahead of me, and this is just a little stepping stone, and I have got to deal with it. I thought it was a pretty cool quote.
For sure. Got a couple more stories and I want to wrap out. So Shannon Zielka presented the Eagle Scout Award to Marcel Boss. Way to go.
Way to go.
In Charlotte, North Carolina. Way to go, Marcel Boss. You got your Eagle Scout Award.
Marcel.
See, what happens is we Google search Mormon and LDS and Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and some of these stories are what comes up. So way to go, Marcel Boss, on getting your Eagle Scout Award. Two more things. Want to get to this, and then we'll talk about the miracle Mormon mother who
this is a good article.
Has a bunch of broken bones. So a Mormon woman from Utah... The headline of this is, New Killdeer Barber is Creating Lots of Buzz. A Mormon woman from Utah was cutting the hair of an Amish man from Wisconsin when a man with an Australian accent called in for an appointment. This actually happened Tuesday in Kildare, making the town seem more like the crossroads of the universe than a formerly sleepy one on the western edge of North Dakota. These are some amazing times in the oil zone. People are piling in from all over the country and to some extent the world to take part in some of the biggest industrial plays on the planet right now. For some who have come to this melting hot, heated by oil. See that? It all comes down to getting their hair cut. Until Kasha Lee opened up a shop a few weeks ago, something as basic as a quick trim was hard to come by in Killdeer, a town populated by any number of male truck drivers, construction workers, and rig roughnecks. The only full-time stylist quit about a year ago, and one in the commercial area is only open about 2 days a week. And for some guys, there's nothing like a barber where it's all about the cut and maybe a shave without the chatty women with heads full of chemicals and foil wraps sitting under the dryer. Guys like Harold Keem, who moved from an Amish community in Wisconsin 5 years ago, said until Lee moved in, either his wife would cut his hair short, black hair, or he traveled working it in with other errands. I just live up the street, Keem said. Now I don't have to go to Dickinson. Keim talked while waiting his turn for a cut. Lee calls the high and tight, which looked neat and handsome when she finished with clippers and comb. So it's a woman who's moved from Kaysville. She used to own the My Barbershop here in Utah, up in Kaysville. And she said, it's time. I'm moving my barbershop to Killdeer.
That is
a
great journalist. That story was awesome.
All sorts of details.
So real quick, South Carolina State Representative Alan Clemens.
Mormon.
He's a Mormon. Yep. Politician. He is actually backing Perry. Proof that Mormons don't just vote for Mormons.
So take that, everyone.
Yeah. Take that.
Okay.
So there.
Taken. Boy, you burned me. Let's talk about this. A miracle Mormon mother walks again after a moped crash left her in a coma with 50 broken bones.
And this is an article from the UK. So this is made national news. Sorry, go ahead. I mean, international news.
And
I won't interrupt anymore.
No, the other thing about this that I liked was as I read the headline where it says moped, the first time I read it, I thought it said walks again after moped crash. And I was
right.
Like,
and
I don't get it.
Who corrected you?
You.
Yep. I'm just say that one more time.
Who else would correct me?
That's a lot of people.
A pregnant mother who spent weeks in a coma after she suffered 50 fractures following a serious road accident is miraculously walking again. Shelley Eldridge, 40, of South Jordan, Utah, and hopefully future guest on the Cultural Hall, was left wrapped around a pole after a moped accident while on holiday with her family in Hawaii in June. Her legs and hips were seriously disfigured, and she miscarried her baby after shattering her pelvis, fracturing her skull, and falling into a coma. Her heart had stopped beating by the time that she got to the hospital, and she had thousands of small strokes in her brain, reported the Salt Lake Tribune. It became pretty apparent she wasn't going to wake up, her husband, a physician, told MSNBC. Our whole worlds had been turned upside down. But Stephen Eldridge, 50, and a Mormon like her, refused when a doctor recommended that her life support be turned off. Then a turning point came when Dr. L. Elovic walked from her right side to her left side and was amazed as she tracked his movement. Soon after, Mr. Eldridge told her a joke and she laughed by raising her eyebrows before she started to speak and move in the following days. She still needs a wheelchair to move around, but she can stand up and walk and now wants to be able to walk without any help. She says, quote, I don't remember being in Hawaii at all in the hospital. Once I got back and woke up from the coma, I remembered that. My doctors were so great, they were so good, but everyone, even the doctors, said she doesn't have a chance of coming back. She had only married Mr. Eldridge just 6 months before the incident, and they had been to Hawaii on holiday in the past. It was very disheartening to face the possibility or likely possibility of her never being able to wake up or function. And so now, just after 17 surgeries in 2 months, she is expected to make a full recovery. So
cool. This was such a miracle. She was on the Today Show talking about it, actually. It really is.
So, Shelly, we're calling you out. We want to hear your story here on the Cultural Hall. If someone knows her or could get us in touch with her, we would love to do that. And that will do it for this episode, episode 5 of the Cultural Hall.
That it will.
Reminder again, please get in touch with us on Facebook by searching The Cultural Hall. You can follow us on Twitter at The Cultural Hall or just go to theculturalhall.com. Thank you so much for listening, for being with us.
And we hope that you feel nourished and strengthened from this podcast.
Yeah, and we hope that you're able to take this with you the remainder of your day.
And that you drive home in safety if you're driving.
Are you going to say it or do you want me to say the last part?
We'll be saving a backseat.
We'll be saving? Do I need to whisper it in your ear?
Spinnerism.
There you go.
We'll be saving a seat for you.
In the back row of the Cultural Hall.